I want to talk to you about how to survive a snow or a storm. We'll put the snow in there. How to survive that. And this series is on the Problems in Life series. And the idea here I want to get across to you is always be prepared. Always be prepared. That's the whole lesson. We can stop now and go home. Always be prepared. So let's go ahead and read from Luke chapter 8, verse 22 to 25. I'm reading the New Living Translation here. One day Jesus said to his disciples, how many disciples we got here? Well, we got four or five of them. A couple here and a few there. The rest of you, listen in. He said, let us cross over on the other side of the lake. You know, that's very significant what Jesus said, right? And a lot of times people forget about what Jesus said. So when he got into the boat and started out and sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. But soon a fierce storm came down on the lake, and the boat was filling with water. They were all in real danger. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, Master, Master, we're going to drown. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind, slapped Peter back in the head. No, he didn't say that. You want to see that? And the raging waves. And suddenly the storm stopped, and all was calm. Then he asked them, where is your faith? The disciples were terrified and amazed. Who is this man? They asked each other. When he gives a command, even the wind and waves obey him. So we're all going to go through some kind of storm in life. And storms really represent problems that we face in life. Jesus, you know, he used storms as a metaphor to give his disciples lessons on what do you do when you encounter trials. And I'm thinking about this right now, and I was thinking about this the other day as I was writing this, when Jesus, you know, he knew what's going to happen. You know, that storm is coming, and he sent them across there, the Bible says at one time, and then he went to sleep. And there's so many questions that people have about this situation, including their own. We will all go through some kind of storm, and we'll need to know how to survive the storm when it does come. And so we want to look here at Jesus and his disciples and take some lessons on how to handle the stormy times in life. And so their reactions reveal our actions. And Jesus' reaction is really ultimately what we should do and how we should react. And he spoke to the wind. He spoke to the storm, waves, and so forth. A lot of times people neglect to speak to their problems. And, you know, the Bible tells us that we're kings in our own lives. And kings, you know, whatever they say happens, happens. If you want a scripture for that, you find over in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says that we rule as kings in this life by one Jesus Christ. And a king rules by declarations, by what he says. And so, over here we see something, and that is security. Everybody wants security. And we all need peace. And in a storm, particularly, that storm was terrible enough to interfere with their safety. The disciples' reaction showed how frightened they were and how one can act when they're overtaken in fright, in fear, in anxiety. You know, Maslow, the great psychologist who theorized and argued that, he says, to experience life to the full, we must have the basic necessity of having security. If you're going to achieve anything in life and realize your full potential as a human being, you need to have security in life, be properly secured in life in order to go on. Everybody needs to have go home to a safe environment. We all need safe streets. We need to walk downtown and not fear anybody accosting you when you go to your bank. You wanna have safety walking at night, going to your car, pick up in your vehicle. You don't want to have safety, come to church. Everybody wants to be safe in church. Nobody wants it, you know, including me, attack you. Everybody wants safety. Everybody wants to feel safe and secure, and rightly so. So he says, in order for us to actually win in life, we need to feel secure. And God gives us, you know, his answers about being secure in life. That's what we want. We sang a couple of songs about victory this morning. And that's what we want. We didn't think about, you know, everybody has a problem. You know, we didn't sing about problems. We sang about the victory, you know. So Jesus, or the psalmist himself, in the 23rd chapter, he's speaking about Jesus. He's our shepherd. He said in verse 4 and 5, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I don't know what you're walking through right now. You might look very nice on the outside. Your hair looks clean. You have nice clothes on. You might have gone through the hardest time last night. And you're looking at me, you don't know what I went through yesterday or last night, or what I've been going through, or what my situation. You don't know if I'm healthy or sick. You don't know if I have a serious illness. I'm walking by faith. You don't know what kind of emotional problems I have, but I appear to be doing okay. A lot of times, some of it seeps out on here, but, you know, you wonder what's wrong with him. You know, I have to be cool and collect every Sunday and every Wednesday and be perfectly balanced. But I'm a human just as much as you are. And I remember sitting in class once, and Pastor Higgin comes in and he rips us up and down. And said, what's wrong with him? Well, I realize the same thing sometimes, you know, things do get to you. And so, he says, when I walk through the darkest valleys, and I thought about this, why am I talking about storms? This is summertime. You know, this is one of the nicest mornings you can wake up to in this time of the year. Really nice. All night, so you can sleep outside bare naked and not get cold. And so, that's how warm it is out there, right? He said, even though I'm walking through the darkest or the coldest valley, I will not be afraid. You see, fear will take your perspective in another direction, right? The disciples were full of fear. They lost their heads. And you and I can lose our heads when a storm hits if we're not prepared. He said, you're close to me. Your rod and your staff protect me. That's the word and the spirit of God protecting you all the time. He never leaves you. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. Let's all face it. The enemy is here. And you're not to be afraid of him. Yeah, he's there, all right. He's watching you. But he can't get to you because you're in Christ. If you stay in within reasonable bounds of the Lord and stay in the will of God, you're not going to be, you'll be protected. But if you get out from the under the protection of God and wander off and do whatever you want to do, and there's reason to believe that you'll be attacked. You know, sometimes the attack comes from the enemy, ignorantly, or how we've lived our lives. Sometimes, you know, you attack yourself. And there's different ways we get attacked is because sometimes we could just be right in the middle of the will of God and still be attacked because we're doing what God wants us to do. But assuredly know this, that when you're on assignment, it's not going to hurt you. Just like, you know, the Apostle Paul, when he was going through that storm, he said, nobody's life is going to be hurt. I heard from God last night, no one here is going to die. And they were going, the storm was raging for I don't know how many days in the sea. They're on going across the sea. So they're, you know, they were having, you know, I was thinking about it. I wonder where that place was where they were. If you'd like to go there and mark it, if it was marked properly, this is where they were, you know. So, but, you know, they were out there, but this guy knew he was supposed to be on the other side. Just like Jesus said, let's go to the other side. And assuredly, they forgot what Jesus said when the storm hit. So we need to get our focus right in these situations. So even though you're walking through a dark valley, it could be right now, that you need to know that God's close to you, that God's there for you, and he's going to take you through. Faith doesn't make the problem go away right away. It'll help you get through the problem. Right? So you're living in this world where Satan is Lord. He has a right to be here for a while right now. You can't get rid of him. He's here. And the enemies are there. Even though God's blessing you, they want to get to you, but they can't get to you. And, you know, if you stick your head out, he might get you. So out of there. So Jesus said to his disciples, and he said, I'm going to give you this unshakable peace. This peace cannot be obtained anywhere else except by me. He said, I'm in the John chapter 14:27, the New Living says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift that the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid. So that's the command of God. We can experience peace in the most troubled times. We can be courageous through our difficulties, have an unshakable heart, undisturbed even when the raging storm is around us, be unmoved in the circumstances of life. Let's start every day. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, like you did this morning, and start to make your faith declarations. Say, everybody say this. Say, today, nothing shall disturb me. So every day when you get up, this is something you need to say to yourself. You know, the grace of God is there again for you. You wake up every morning, it's there for you, waiting for you. You can say, you know what? I'm going to face this life courageously, and no matter what happens, God's with me. And no matter what I face, I'm going to go through this and get through it. I'll know exactly what to do. If trouble comes, I know exactly what to do. Because God always promised, he promised that I'll never leave you. He didn't say, I'll never leave you, but when you go down, I'll still know it. He didn't say that. He said, I'm going to be there for you. So he can't go down you can't go down because he's there with you. Amen? So here's some scripture I thought about quite a lot last while. In Psalm 125, 1 and 2, I was quoting this to my wife the other day. You know, I quote a lot of scriptures to her. She says, those who trust the Lord. How many of you trust the Lord? Okay, so trusting the Lord means you're relying on him. It means you're depending on him. It means your focus is on him. It means your faith is in God. If your faith is in God, your faith is in the Word. His Word and him are the same. He's not different from his Word, like you're not different from your Word. That's why you have to keep your promises, right? Don't deceive yourself. So it says, those who trust the Lord are as secure as Mount Zion. They will not be defeated, but will endure. One of those versions says, they'll not be shaken. Woo! You know, you're like a mountain that cannot be shaken. Right? And verse 2 says, the mountains surround, just as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds the people, both now and forever. How long does he surround you? Forever. Forever. Right now, you're having trouble around you, but Jesus is around you. He's surrounding you right now with his love, with his mercy, with his faith. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. We could just go home right now, run home, and have a break. Yeah? Let's go to another scripture, Psalm 25:15. It's easy to get off course and have your eyes somewhere else and just keep looking at, look at that problem. Look at how big that devil was. A big, greasy one. Smelly. You know, we get our eyes on the devil. And he just tells you how ugly he is and try to scare you. Eh? My eyes are always on the Lord. For he rescues me. That's why you have your eyes on him. for he rescues me from the traps of my enemies. So if you keep your eyes on the Lord, that's why in the desert, God told him, told Moses, make that brazen serpent, put it on a pole, hang it up there, and I want everybody to look at that. And when they don't look at the snakes, but look at the serpent, the brazen serpent. As Jesus said, as I'm lifted up like the serpent in the desert, I'll draw men to me. But everyone who looked at him, that's Numbers 21, I believe it is, Numbers 21. Everyone who looks at that serpent, they'll be healed. They'll not die from the serpents, from the bites of the serpent. Poisonous snakes were killing them. But they looked at the serpent. Huh? Well, what's the serpent? The serpent represented Jesus as our sin on the cross. And they got healed because you look at Jesus. He took my infirmities, bore my sicknesses. I say that every day, even when I'm sick, even when I have symptoms. I say, Lord, I thank you that you promised me healing. You promised me a long life. I keep saying that, no matter what. Thank God that he's there. I don't keep my eyes on the storm. You know, different ones, you know, I go through different trials. You know, it's because it's sunny, that doesn't mean they'll never have problems, right? There's going to be storms coming. Glory to God. So what are you looking at? So our perspectives, or our perspective, personally, each one of us, is the most important thing in life, is what you're looking at. Where are you looking? When a storm of life comes, we can get easily focused on all the excitement around us and lose our heads. Like those disciples. On one occasion, when they saw Jesus walking on the water, they got so scared they no longer saw the storm, they saw a ghost. They were overcome, and the Lord had to refocus them, get them back on track. They were so terrified for the fear of drowning, even while they were looking at Jesus. Some of us kind of get a narrow perspective on Scripture. We look at the Scripture, but say, yeah, but I'm going down. So that's why you got to get the Scripture inside of you. Amen. Feed on it. Chew on it. Talk about what this God says. You know, you can quote Scripture and memorize them, but it has to be branded on the inside of you. How do you do that? You do that by meditation of the Word. It's been so strong inside of you, meditating the Word. These disciples spoke out their fear instead of their faith in God. Many times, you might have felt that way in a scary situation. You didn't consider that what Jesus said. And he said, I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. And you felt like, emotionally, you felt like he forsook you. You feel forsake you. You forgot that he said, I'll never forsake you. My mind is going quicker than I can speak. So I spoke in tongues to you. Directly to your spirit. even though we don't know which way to turn, you have to believe that Jesus is going to turn you in the right direction. When you don't have sight, you ever drive behind a snowplow or a big truck on Highway 11 or 17 and nothing but trucks going there and you can't see where you're going? So you have to back off a little bit. And, I'll tell you something. I have concerns for going on the 17 highway with all those crashes going on. So I'm canceling all my trips in November, December, January, you know. So all these accidents. So our great shepherd is there to protect us and to help us to find our way out and through the storm. The question is, did he help his disciples there? Yes, he did. He got them through the hard time. So don't lose your heads. So we can experience many kinds of emotions during the storm, and we can lose our perspective. And something he said, don't lose your head. Jesus, in that one storm, Jesus calmly walks up to them in the midst of that same storm that they were in. He was ready to help them. He's our present, ever-present God. Jehovah Shammah, the ever-present one. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, right? He's always there. He's Jehovah Shammah, the ever-present God. He's all-knowing. He knows your thoughts. The Bible says, he knows your very thoughts. I read that scripture last night in Psalm 44. God knows the thought of every person. We can experience peace. That's what we want. That's what we need. He's our present help. Let's look over here. And this, as I mentioned earlier, I kind of quoted on, talked about it before. The 14th chapter of Matthew, verse 24, or 22 to 33, New Living Translation. And let's look at what happened here. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up to the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen. They're fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I'm here." Jesus called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you," walking on the water. "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went on the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified. He was no longer in faith, right? And he began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back to the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshipped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. You know, he's the one there. You know, he told his disciples, he told Peter, "You have such little faith. Why did you doubt me?" So just a little doubt took him out. So you need to fight this battle. You know, sometimes the battle can rage on longer than you thought it was going to be, right? Some of us have been raging battles for like years. And we don't complain about it every week. We don't ask for prayer all the time. I was in Tulsa once and I had this physical problem. I was seeing a doctor. And I was at a convention in Tulsa over at the Mabee Center or at Oral Roberts University. And a lot of pastors were there. There's all kinds of pastors across from the country, around the world. The highlight of these big ministries, and they were meeting there. And the night I went, Brother Hagin was speaking. And it was school week. So I went there, I think it was a Thursday night, and he spoke, and he's always speaking on healing and faith. And I went up there and listened to him that evening. And then he called, there was a call for altar call for about healing. And I was standing there, and I started to make my way up, and I said, "I'm going to go up there and get Brother Hagin to lay hands on me. He's the man of God. I want to get him to lay hands on me. I've got all these symptoms. I've been struggling." And as soon as I got up, the Lord said to me, "I thought you're healed." Going up there, you got to make sure, are you depending on the man, or are you believing my word? So I turned back and said, "No, Lord, I'm believing your word." Now, I could have went up there, and people do this all the time in the church services. They believe more on the man than they do believe the word. Now, listen, I just want to get your perspective here, and that is that sometimes you do need somebody to lay hands on you. But if God taught you something different, then you need to follow that instead of getting somebody to lay hands on you. Now, you might live like that for a while. We don't live by laying on hands. We live by faith. And of course, it is faith laying on hands. But, you know, there's sometimes you might not have someone lay hands on you. You might have to lay hands on yourself, like Brother Hagin did when he had a heart attack. He said he laid hands on himself, and he said he felt the anointing on him going into his body. He said he was in church, and he fell over and had a heart attack. His heart stopped, He said, I used all the faith I had, but I was getting better nowhere fast. And so he said, the Lord said to him, I told you in 1952, I believe, or 1950, he said, the anointing is in your hands. Just go ahead and lay your hands on yourself and call yourself well. So, hey, listen, lay your hands on yourself and call yourself well. Amen? So you don't have to go call an elder. If there's no elders around and you're sick, call yourself. Like I always say, pray for yourself. You can. And that's not a joke either. I mean, it might be a joke to some. Pray for yourself. No, that's not a joke. It's real. Pray for yourself. You might not always get somewhere. You know? And so we've kept people babies. And we haven't really given people the opportunity to grow and start using their own faith. Now, I didn't say we couldn't never pray for people, but, you know, there's times you need to pray for baby Christians. There's times you need to pray for someone when they're having more trouble and they need your extra help. I do it sometimes. I ask my wife to pray with me and partner with me and pray for me. But I don't go out online and say, okay, y'all pray for me. I'm having this trouble. You know, people lose respect for you sometimes. And they should. You know, so they can. So let's go over here. Another situation, Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41, New Living. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. This is the other section that we read Luke's perspective on it. They took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. You know, if they knew the forecast, if they knew a storm was coming, they wouldn't have let out. They would have known, it's not a good time. Let's not take Jesus out there. He's our Savior. We don't want him to die too. I mean, he's healing people, preaching, right? So they wouldn't have went out there. And some of you don't realize this. You might have a nice day today, but tomorrow could be different. So I'm trying to learn you how to survive a storm, right? So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although there was other boats following. But as soon as a fierce storm came up, high waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? Here's another thing. We always say, doesn't God care for me? Doesn't he care? Don't you care that I have a problem, Lord? Why don't you do something about it? God, why don't you just go ahead and heal me? Why don't you just go ahead and give me that money? You know? And I was hearing some stories the other day about people going to get some money. And they said, well, we shouldn't give them this money because they'll kill themselves. Well, you don't want to kill yourself with money. You want to be a blessing, right? So Jesus here, he's sleeping in the back with his head on the cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, Jesus, don't you care for us, he said. Verse 39, Jesus woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, he said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. You know, verse 39, what would you say to people today if they're saying to you, I'm speaking against my problem, what would you tell people? What would you think about people today? Most of the time, people think, that guy's crazy. He's talking to his problems. He's speaking to his mountains, like Jesus said. You know, well, it's all in here, right? It's right there. We're reading it. Jesus spoke to the situation. He spoke to the very thing that's, threatening their lives. You might be talking about a sickness in your life. You got to say, listen, you can't stay in my body. If you got to keep having a financial problem, say, listen, Jesus died for my sins. Jesus died. God, you laid my sickness and my pains on Jesus. That's what it says in the scripture. That God laid my pains, my sicknesses, on Jesus. Amen. According to the word of God, 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes, I was healed. According to Matthew 8:17, himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. According to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. And according to Deuteronomy 28, verse 61, every sickness and every disease is a curse of the law. And therefore, according to the Bible, I'm free from this sickness.
Amen.
That's what I say. But I'm still hurting. And the doctor still gave me the medicine to take. But I'm saying what God says. So I keep saying what God says. God doesn't lie. My body tells me, there's no problem in taking medicine. Go ahead and take your medicine. It has nothing to do with your faith. I know some people just throw away their medicine and die. They say, I'm never taking any more of these diabetes medicines, and they die. Because they never had faith. In the beginning, it looked like faith or sounded like faith. It's what we call mental assent. That means all you did was just mentally agree that the Bible is true. That's not faith. See? We need to get faith in us. The Bible says that's why we have to meditate the Word. Jesus said, eat the Word, right? Well, speaking about eating, there's going to be some good food after this somewhere. Hallelujah. So, suddenly the wind stopped. There was a great calm. We like calmness, don't we? We like to be calm, cool, collect, like nothing's bothering you. But that's not reality, is it? You know? It's not always going to be calm. Like you might be sitting here, smile on your face, but there's a raging storm in your head. Right? You might be hurting right now. You might be thinking about, oh, what am I going to do with that car payment? What am I going to do with him? with her? Huh? What about my boss? What about my co-worker? What am I going to do about them? Well, there's a lot of things you could do. Sabotage their situation. They'll do something, you know. That'd be not good, right? So, verse 40 says this. This is all perspective right here, verse 40. He asked them, after all that situation, he asked them, why are you so afraid? So Jesus is expecting them not to be afraid. Yeah. See, fear is really the opposite of faith, really in the sense, you know, like when you think about it, if you're fearful, then you're not in faith, right? Do you still have no faith? That's what he's saying. So actually, he's saying there, you know, you need to start using your faith. And the problem is that most people, when they run into trouble, is that they forget all their faith and they walk by how they feel. They lose perspective. They forget about, they start walking emotionally rather than walking by principle. You know? So this is what happens to most people. And I don't care what I feel like. I do what it says in Psalm chapter 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. I said, I will not fear. Today, I'm getting up today. I said, today, I will not fear anything. I will not have anxiety attacks. I will not be overcome by anything. I'm unshakable. I'm like the mountains that surround Jerusalem. God says that I am. I cannot be taken down. That's what Brother Hagin, Pastor Hagin says. I shall not be defeated and I will not quit. That's what he says. And I always wondered, like, okay, what is he talking about? And I understand what he's saying now. I cannot be defeated. I will not quit. Like, people don't understand. They don't like that. They say, that guy, what is he talking about? He's been defeated many times. No, I'm not. He that within me is greater than he that's in the world. Right in the middle of a bad situation, we need to be calm. You ever notice that? there's a big situation going on. People say, okay, calm down now, calm down. He said, what am I? Calm down. So, especially when you get mad at some place, you got a bad dinner or something. Then bring that extra chicken leg. And you're still hungry. Somebody said they fed me enough to get a grown man mad. That's what Bill Bush used to say. He's a big guy. That's what he used to say. Just enough food to get a grown man mad. So in every emergency situation, we need to remain calm. It's your responsibility to calm yourself down. It makes things worse when you get all upset with the excitement. And then you start pointing fingers and blaming each other. I know sometimes when my wife and I have problems, we blame each other. Is that what happens? No, you left that pot open. No, I didn't. I told you to take it off. No, it's overflowed now. Now the dogs are licking it up. What's going on here? Those dogs, tonight, we shouldn't have dogs. And all of a sudden, we're taking the dogs to the pound. And the dogs don't even know what's going on. And so that's what happens, and the problem is they start blaming each other. You don't take responsibility, right? So we're talking about storms, right? And I'm glad Pastor Steve, he's out there all the time. He comes. I was away one time. I come home for a number of weeks, and he was outside my house clearing my snow. That's a good boy, isn't it? The other day, Pastor Ken came by and cut my lawn. He's a good boy. Thank you guys for helping me out. I mean, I would have sweated out all day yesterday, my little lawnmower. And I came by here the other day. I saw this is, you know, the grounds look wonderful, eh? Trimmed up. Thank to somebody. Somebody did it. We appreciate that. I mean, I was praising this guy because he did a wonderful job. Look at that, eh? It looks good. And I walked around the area, came out of here from the bush and saw, man, this looks good. And it's wonderful. But if it wasn't cut, I'm blaming Pastor Steve and Pastor Ken. You blame somebody, right? It's not always you. You could take the lawnmower too. Yeah? So anyway, we make things worse when we get all excited. What did the Lord say to them? Don't lose your heads. Don't be afraid. Where's your faith? He's expecting them to use your faith. What will he say to you? What did he say to you? What is he saying to you right now? To your situation that you're in right now, that you find yourself in. And he says to you, even before the storm comes, he says other things to you before you ever had a storm. Jesus says to you, you know, whatever he says, he's saying to be calm, to don't be afraid. You may say, yeah, but my problem is much more difficult. It's so complicated, my problem. Even God's having a hard time with it. And we know he's a miracle worker, and yet we say, God, you know, Lord, if I were you, would have helped me. I always tell the Lord that. If I were you, I'd help me right now. I'd solve it right now if I were you. And if you were asking me, I would help you. So none of you ever talk like that to the Lord? Yeah? So he said, I'll never leave you, forsake you. He wants us to have peace. He wants us to experience his peace. So don't be fearful. And he's the Prince of Peace. The Bible says in Isaiah 9:6, he said, he's our Prince of Peace. He said, I'm going to give you peace, and I'm going to live inside you. The Prince of Peace lives in us. Amen? Amen? He's there. So how do you survive the situation? So in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, it says, be sober, well-balanced, self-disciplined, be alert, be cautious at all times that enemy of yours, the devil, prowls along like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. So he's there. He's going to be there, and you need to know he's going to be there. But he says, but resist him. Be firm in your faith against his attack, rooted, established, immovable. Let me just say this. You can't resist the devil if you don't have faith. Right? You cannot do it. You can try emotionally. You can try, muster up and sing yourself a song and just, get yourself. You can't do it unless you have faith. Unless you know your authority, right? And know your rights as a citizen of the kingdom of God. It's hard to do something about situations where you don't have your authority. So he says, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being experienced by your brothers and sisters throughout the world. You do not suffer alone. It's nice when you know that other people suffer too, right? That you're not alone. A lot of times when I'm going through stuff, I say, you know what? There's other people like me out there. Some of them even far more in a problem because they don't even have faith. They don't have the Lord in their hearts, in their minds. They're not thinking about it. They're trying to survive. But me and you, we have the Lord in your boat, right? You know, some storms kill people. Snowstorms, the fires that rage in the BC and the fires that rage in Hawaii and the fires that were in the United States, right? And all the storms that came in, the floods came in and killed people. Storms kill people. And some of them didn't prepare themselves. They weren't prepared for it. They just say, I'm staying here. So we have to make a decision that this won't be you, a victim of a storm. You'll have to make preparations beforehand. Be ready. Build your resistance up. Build up your whatever you have to build up. And face whatever situation comes in your way. The people on the coast, we just saw this last little while, they prepared themselves. I see them boarding up their houses and they said, we're going to go far away from the coast and we're going to get out of here right away and hopefully our business will still be there when we come back. Some people lost businesses, lost homes. They built up stuff for years. They lost everything. And one guy said, I built this up here. My insurance ran out, but I lost it all. Lost everything because he didn't have the right insurance for that storm. That's horrible. Lost his business. Because he could not afford to have insurance or something. And I can't remember what it was like anyway. So, you can prevent yourself from having a storm of sickness in your life. And you could prevent yourself from going down and dying from this illness, whatever it is. You have to eat well. You talk to any old person that's really old. We don't have those around here, but, really old people. And somebody said, hey, you need to watch this, I think it was a video or a show on Netflix about people who live to be 100. And they showed where these people live. I was thinking, if I could only eat the grass they eat, right? They had, it wasn't about, in one study, it wasn't about what people actually ate. They studied different people over the years, and they said, these people, amazingly, they eat rich food. And they lived a long life. And they studied it. And a lot of these things say it's diet, and different things, and whatever. And a lot of it, the study, the bottom line is the people who live long are happy people. Amen. Stress-free people. Family, people with family. People who have, fellowship with other people like them. They have fun, they play games, and they have a great time. They don't worry about things. There's one family, they had this one study, I think it's in New Jersey, why these people live a long time, these Italian people. And they found out what happened is that they had people, even grandma, live with them. In most cases, grandma come live with you, you die early. You know? And so, but these people, their grandma lives with them, everybody lives with them, and they live a long life, and they found out why. Because they had peace and joy in their home. They were stress-free. And science tells us that when you're stressed out, it does a lot of things in your body. Your body reacts and destroys itself. And your arteries start to harden. You're all stressed out. And this is true. Listen, eat well, right? You have to eat well. Build up something. Now, I'm in the wrong place here. You have to eat well. Preventative measures. So, they kill people, these storms. You have to plan. Eat well, drink water. They say drink water. How many of you are drinking adequate water? I know some of you carry big jugs around. Just in case you run out of water. My wife has this big water bottle with her wherever she goes. Click, 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 click. I said, man, you drink so much water. Fred Price said that his wife had cancer because she never drank water. You have to clean out your system. But the trouble with us, you pee a lot, right? If you go to bathroom a lot, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You have to, you know. So anyway, have adequate sleep. And some people can't sleep. But it tells you the better sleep you have, your body repairs itself if you have a certain REM of sleep. Yeah. Right? If you're like our dogs, they don't sleep very much. They sleep all day, but they're not really sleeping. Soon as you creak out a little bag, they're right? They come around. I thought you were sleeping. That's the way they are, right? So, but you have to have the REM sleep, like nothing's going to disturb you. They say when a dog lies on his back and spreads his legs out like this, and that means he's really relaxed. I see Pastor Ken like that in his office. Mouth wide open, spit spilling down there. I'm just kidding. When I come to his office, he stands in attention. So drink water, have adequate sleep, take vitamins, supplements, exercise. Those are all good things. Wouldn't that good? I'm telling you how to survive an attack. But there's something more spiritual than that, right? You have to do something more spiritual than that. Yeah, do all those things, exercise and whatever. And so be careful. How do you do that? Be careful in your study of God's Word. Build your spirit up. Learn to have confidence in God. Learn to have confidence in your own faith. Learn how to have confidence in your own prayer, right? Through fellowship in the Word, read the Word, read His promises. If there's something that you need to, if you're having trouble in the area, you figure out the scriptures in that area, start feeding yourself along the same line of where you're struggling, and read those and make it a conscious effort and confess that regularly. This is what God says about me. Jesus gave this preventative measure. I want to show you. We will close with this here. Matthew 7, verse 24 to 29, the Amplified Bible says, so everyone who hears these words of mine, Matthew 7, 24, 29, 7, 24, 29, he says, so everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, not just hear them, but acts on them, will be like a wise man, farsighted, practical, and sensible, who built his house on the rock. He's telling you something, how to prevent yourself from going down. You know, look at this. He says, look at, okay, the rain came. He's talking about the storm. The rain fell. The floods came. Torrents came. The winds blew, slammed against the house. And it did not fall because it had been founded on a rock. You're immovable. When you stay in the Word, I'm not be moved, I'll not be moved. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them, will be like a foolish man, a stupid man who built his house on the sand. Now he's talking about two people, two simple, same people in the same church, hearing the same message. One starts building his life around the scriptures, and the other guy doesn't. Forgets everything else. Oh, that's a wonderful scripture. And leaves and never talks, thinks about it again. Doesn't take any notes, doesn't think about it. Say, lessons we've got here are for you. I spend a lot of hours studying the Word and just giving it out. You know? So you have to look at it, whatever area that you're having trouble with. When Jesus had finished speaking these words on the mountains, the crowds were astonished and overwhelmed at his teaching. For he was teaching them as one who had authority to teach entirely 29 of his own volition, and not as their scribes who relied on others to confirm their authority. So build your life on the Word of God. Ask yourself, in any situation, what does God say about my situation right now? What does the Word say here on this area? Immediately find scriptures that cover your case. Read them to yourself. Meditate on them. Confess them. And say, this is God's word, and he's speaking to me about my situation. This is what God says about my situation right now. And this covers my case. I have faith for it. And I'm going through the storm. God is my helper. He's provided everything I need in Jesus' name. Amen? The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace, all who trust in you. My thoughts are fixed on you. Let's go ahead and stand up as we close. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. I don't know if you're watching online somewhere. Maybe you don't have a fellowship. Maybe you're having a hard time. But I want to let you know that God loves you. And he's already prepared a way for you. You might not see it with your own mind right now. You might not see it by looking at how hard and how difficult your situation is. The more you focus on that, the less God will appear in your life. Begin to get to the Word and focus on what God says about you. He's there for you right now. He's Jehovah Shammah, the same God that's here right now, is right there, wherever you are. He's there beside your bedside. He's there beside you and your situation, your car, wherever you are. He's there. He'll never forsake you, never leave you go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Father, we want to thank you for your word today, that we can survive the storm, no matter what kind of storm it is. You showed us what to do. Yes, we live in this world where the storms are raging against all around us, coming against our dreams, coming against our families, our businesses, our homes. But our focus is on you. You said, blessed is the man, you said, who focuses on the Word of God. Thank you. Thank you. The home of the righteous is blessed, you said, is stable. Thank you. We give you praise and thanksgiving and honor for your word.